The podcast you are about to listen to contains at least one of the following: strong language, disturbing topics, abusive opinions, generally things that aren't appropriate for little kids or overly sensitive people. So if any of that stuff's going to get your nose out of joint, this is your chance to turn it off. Welcome to I Had to Say It, the podcast where I talk about things that I feel need talking about, and sometimes they're not getting the attention they deserve. And your feelings, they're not under consideration. All right, everybody. So here's the deal. We're going to start out. Got to get some, I guess, housekeeping out of the way. If things sound a little different, I can explain that, and that's going to be part of what I'm going to be talking about today. I have made some changes to my recording setup and still getting some of the things dialed in. So there will be some changes in how things sound until I get everything figured out exactly how I want to do it. Changes in mic technique and stuff like that. And this is actually exciting news for anybody that's a fan of the show, because it is going to be leading to some new developments. Now, the first thing I really need to do, first thing I need to touch on and talk about, is to acknowledge the reason this is happening and the whole thing that has made it possible. In some of my earlier episodes where I've talked about things I wanted to do with the show and things I wanted to change, or changes I would like to make due to equipment I would like to acquire and things like that, you may have heard me mention, and if you are, since I assume at this point most of my audience actually has their own shows, I've talked multiple times about wanting to pick up a Rodecaster. It has a lot more features as far as doing production stuff for podcasts, live streaming, things like that, than the previous equipment I was using. And so, due to an extremely generous thing that was done for me by an individual who I have mentioned multiple times, if you've listened to me for any extended amount of time, you're aware of it. If you're new to this program, I'm going to tell you this right now. Russ from the Infectious Groups podcast, it's one of my, I never miss it. It is a part of my routine every Monday morning. They make my Mondays less sucky. It's a fantastic show where they discuss music. Russ and his crew, Kyle and Michelle, their approach is so different from a lot of the shows you'll find out there, because it's focused on positivity. They don't talk shit about people. They don't complain about things. I mean, yeah, there's always, you know, there's some potential to be like, you know, things they're not thrilled about. And if there's songs they don't care for, when they do album reviews and they'll list their stinkers and things, but they try and do everything with a positive spin. They don't just walk into episodes with the intent of bagging on stuff and talking smack and being negative. It's a very positively oriented program. And Russ is an absolutely wonderful person. I've been shouting their praises for a long time just because I like them. I like the way they carry themselves. I like what they do. Well, Russ was also an extremely generous guy, because he upgraded his equipment and got himself the Rodecaster Pro 2. And in an act of absolutely insane generosity that I completely flabbergasted and floored by, decided to send me his Rodecaster Pro 1. So, yes, I am now working with the piece of equipment that I had been looking forward to trying to get my hands on, and I was considering it was something that may actually be in the realm of possibility now that the 2 is out and people might be looking to upgrade their equipment. So, it wound up working out for me. So, Russ, I know you're a listener of the show, and I appreciate all your support on the social media and the call-outs when I leave little comments in relation to the show. And I can't say thank you enough for allowing me to step my game up into, you know, showing the support for the show and everything else. And it means more to me than I can clearly say. And I thank you so much. Now, that being said, with this nifty new piece of equipment, we're going to be making some changes to the show in terms of just how we do things. And I'm still going through tutorials and watching a bunch of videos and stuff on YouTube. I've got hours and hours into trying to figure out how to optimize this to work the best and what I want to do going forward. And one of the things we're going to do going forward is we are going to start doing a I Had to Say It Live episode, at least one night a month, depending on the reaction, how much people, if you know, if people watch it and get engaged with it. And if it seems like something people are going to want, maybe we'll do more. But for sure, one night a month. I have to figure out logistically what's going to be a good night and when I think people would want to watch it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There will be polls on social media and things like that to try and get some feedback from people who may actually listen or want to be involved with it. There will be guests. It will be topical discussions. I'm looking at working on setting up for call-ins because that's one of the neat things I can do with this new piece of equipment is take live phone calls during the episode. So that is in the cards for the impending future. Within, I want to get it figured out within the next week or two and get the first one scheduled. So that'll be something fun. And hopefully that will, if you're listening to the show on a regular basis, hopefully we can figure out a time where you can make it, you can be involved, call in or you know, interact with it. I'm trying to still figure out all the software to do the live streaming stuff too, because just having the session set up is another thing when we have to either stream it through a platform like either Facebook Live or Instagram Live or any of that stuff. So it looks like, at least to some extent, Meta will be involved and possibly YouTube. I know there are ways to stream out to multiple sites at once, so I'm going to try and get up as many options up there as possible. So yeah, so that's something to look forward to. Like I said, hopefully it's going to be a positive change. People will like it, and it will allow some new, fresh stuff to go on in the course of the show. Okay, so I guess that's all the housekeeping for now. So we come to the crux of what I want to talk about this week. In the interest of keeping things a little more, let's say, global, I want to kind of put some things that have been going on in the United States into perspective a little bit for those of my listeners who are here. And this is something I noticed. It's been getting kind of shoved to the side, at least in context of the things I'm saying, but it's going on around the world, and there has been a lot of unrest on a global scale. I mean, the war in Ukraine is impacting a lot of things, the boycotts and the refusal to buy Russian oil and all this other stuff. There have been global impacts, and there are global food shortages right now. I mean, the war interrupted things like wheat production and harvesting, because that is the breadbasket of Europe, and we're starting to see the dominoes falling from all this shit on a global scale. And there are fuel shortages in different countries around the world, and people are getting sick of this shit. It's not just a United States thing to be unhappy with your government. People are people. It's kind of human nature. If you're getting treated like shit, people are only going to take so much. And unlike what happens in the U.S. when there are people that are politically dissatisfied with the way things are, you know, contrary to what a lot of people are trying to say right now, what happened here on January 6th was not an insurrection. It was a case of trespassing and a bunch of assholes in a building that technically we paid for through our taxes. And they took an unguided tour and some asshole stole a podium. That wasn't an insurrection. I don't care how hard you try and spin it. It's not an insurrection. It's trespassing, it's shit getting stupid, not things getting out of hand. An insurrection is what happened in Sri Lanka over the weekend, where they broke into the president's mansion and burned his office to the fucking ground because there's no fuel and no food and the people are fed up. He had to flee the country. The president of their parliament had to flee the country for his life. That's how you insurrection. It's not, you know, scaring some woke people by being loud and obnoxious and being somewhere that you're not technically supposed to be. Nobody had to flee the country in D.C. They barely had to evacuate the block. There was not any real threat or danger in place on the scale of the way shit gets handled in the rest of the world. And things like in South America and Ecuador, there are riots and protests going on right now because the country is in such shitty shape that, now, you may not know this, Ecuador is a popular destination spot for people from, like, the UK and Great Britain and things like that. And they're being advised to stay the hell away, to cancel your vacation plans if you had them, because they cannot guarantee your safety if you go there. That's how you insurrection. That's how you show the government you're pissed off. not going to Twitter and posting and venting your spleen and feeling self-important because social media is on the fast track back to being a pure echo chamber. Not that it hasn't pretty much always been that, but it's bound to get worse. So we have a bunch of people here in the States, and they think that, you know, oh, well, yeah, we're making a huge difference with our tweets and our posts and our protests. And no, you're really fucking not. It's all a distraction, really. Another good example, the ruling party in Japan, their prime minister got assassinated. And you want to talk about gun control laws, they have strict gun control laws there. It's not real common for there to be a lot of random guns in the general population's hands. He got assassinated with a homemade gun. So if somebody's, that just proves my point. I've said it before, I'll say it again. If somebody's really determined to take a motherfucker out, they're gonna do it. If they're willing to pay the price that comes along with attacking that person, if they're willing to jeopardize their own safety, their own lives, nobody is untouchable. That's just the long and the short of it. But meanwhile, you look at anything that's being covered or talked about here in the United States, and it's, well, Elon Musk is trying to pull out of his bid to buy Twitter. You know, we knew he wasn't going to go through with it. No, Elon tried to buy Twitter, and he had certain prerequisites, including being given information and data to prove how many actual users are on the service and how many bots there are. Not a super unreasonable request. They had, a year and a half to acquiesce to this, or at least a few months. I lose track. It all kind of blurs together. I generally tend to tune out stupid crap, but over the last few months, they had plenty of opportunities to give him what he was asking for, and they didn't. So he decided to back out of the purchase. And the Twitter board, predictably enough, decided to try and sue him because his offer was more than reasonable. You know, he put in a bid at like $53 a share when the stock was at like $35. So they stood to make a metric shit ton of money. And instead of just doing what was in their own best interest and saying, hey, look, here's the data you asked for, and because they were misrepresenting the value of the company is what it boils down to. But instead, they didn't provide him with what he wanted to. And when he decided to back out of the purchase, they decided to try and sue him because he's in breach of contract, according to them, for backing out of the sale. And they want their like $1 billion breach of contract payment. Problem is, they were in breach of contract first by not providing the data that was required for the purchase to go through. And now they have to provide that information in court under oath. So realistically, Elon is probably still, if he wanted to, he could probably still buy Twitter for about half of what he was originally offering because the stocks are going to tank on this one. So, yeah, they kind of shot themselves in the ass and they should have just played ball and been smart. But that's the crap you're hearing about. You're not hearing all kinds of media coverage about other countries where they're overthrowing their governments and running crooked, shitty politicians out of town and doing things to enact change as they see fit. They come out and they trot out all this other crap. And I try to keep my social media feeds balanced. I follow people I don't necessarily agree with. I get a lot of posts about things I don't necessarily co-sign or want to even really see. But it helps me keep perspective. It helps me see what the other side's thinking. And I've got these just utterly insane amount of left-leaning individuals, and not like moderate left. I mean like left to, you got to be fucking kidding me left, that are, you know, posting how great it is. They still want Elon's money for Twitter, but they don't want him involved in running the thing, and this will show him and blah, 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 because they have no actual grasp of what's going on. They just know what they want to believe about it. And big money guy bad seems to be the mentality about it. And in the meantime, things like the Hunter Biden hearing and his laptop, which is, you know, was supposedly supposed to be, you know, it was this huge damning piece of evidence that was just kind of hushed up by the mainstream media and nobody's talking about it. All of a sudden, coincidental timing or not, the people of 4chan and assorted anonymous internet warriors apparently cracked his iCloud password. And there is just tons of ridiculous shit coming out from the other side, flooding the timelines with pictures of him with drugs and hookers. And this guy, for being a rich junkie of a politically connected family, somebody buy the motherfucker some pants, because pretty much every picture he's in, he's either in his drawers or he's got his dick out. I really don't need to be seeing that on my timeline every day. I've talked plenty of shit about Joe Biden and his kid because they're terrible human beings and they deserve to have shit talked about them. The fact that he refers to his own old man as pedo Peter, yeah, that generally somebody doesn't call anybody, particularly somebody they're related to and make a living off of, a pedo unless they have a solid basis for it. It's not a joke. That's not something you kid about. So it kind of makes you wonder what kind of a person our commander-in-chief is. But again, this shit is all, you know, it's a distraction from the bigger problems that are going on in the world. And, like, I'm not going to harp overly much on Roe versus Wade. As somebody who is a federal minimalist, I don't want the big government having all this power, so I'm not going to sit here and piss and moan. I've stated before how I feel about abortion. It's in the other episodes. You want to know where I stand? Go back and listen to it. You might be surprised, but ultimately, even that, there's so much echo chamber shit out there. The justices are being harassed, and you got people on the left saying, oh, well, we don't feel bad for him. He can just go to another state and da-da-da-da-da, and in particular with Brett Kavanaugh, who I think is a piece of shit. And we've got actual government figures calling for all these justices to be replaced because they misrepresented themselves to get their nominations approved and all this other shit. You know, not considering that people can change their minds about things, but no, it was very clear that they said they weren't going to do this and now they did and we want them out of there. Problem being is if you replace four conservative justices or six conservative justices right now under the existing administration with the existing power structure, they're not going to offer to replace them with different conservative justices. They're only going to accept replacing them with people that have their same political leanings. Subsequently, completely loading the Supreme Court to one direction. Now, there's all kinds of reasons, and the big left side of things right now is talking about we need to load the Supreme Court, we need to do this, we need to do that. That's not how the system is supposed to work. And it's like these people don't even understand that under the banner of talking about the freedoms they think they're entitled to, they are talking about complete enforcement through one-sided domination of the government of their belief structure. That's not freedom. That's not liberty. That's not justice. That is one-sided, mono-thinking bullshit. And I'm not surprised about it. It is way too common for the extreme woke individuals, the super far-leaning people, to have this mentality of the only way things are good enough is if we have complete and total control. And that's not how this country is supposed to fucking work. That's kind of why all these regulations are supposed to be handled at the state level. This country was founded with the concept of having a very small federal government, a very small federal governmental presence. Because that way you can have your freedoms and you can move to regions that are more likely to suit your tastes, your preferences, not have an entire section of the planet that is just run one way. And a lot of these people now, they go to this knee-jerk, like the Handmaid's Tale bullshit. You see protesters out there in red robes and white hats and, oh, well, the super conservative Christians are coming to do all this and that. And they don't see any of the irony that they are simply pushing a super different stance. It's not that they're pushing for freedom or individual rights or liberties. They are pushing for acknowledgement that their way is superior and the other way can't exist because that's not right, because they don't agree with it. And it's, you know, it's really hypocritical, not that anybody sees it. And that's not a problem that's unique to the United States. All the more developed countries in the world, from what I can tell, based on my interactions through the internet with various people and watching various media sources and news sources and different content creators out there to try and get some sort of broader perspective on things, a lot of the ultra-liberal side is having these problems. And it's not, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I am very accepting of people in general. I believe people should be able to do whatever they want with their lives as long as they're not hurting anybody else. Do what makes you happy. Do what makes you feel right. Live your best life as long as you're not hurting anybody. And I don't think that's a real complicated way of looking at things. And I'm all for equality based on things, you know, and I look at the way, it's maybe it's the Gen X in me. Gen X right now, we should be coming out of the woodwork and flexing the hard as fuck. We don't give a shit. We will not be intimidated. We will not be taken down. And we will not be forced into this shit attitude that we should all have. And you know, on the social media accounts, we kind of flew under the radar between the millennials going after the boomers, and we're in between them, and we were just kind of the forgotten generation in a lot of ways. But the simple fact of the matter is we're survivors, and we're slacking. We're not doing what we should be doing and, you know, setting the right example for these fucking kids and putting these old fucks in their place. We're not forcing the mandatory age out that should exist in politics. We're not doing what we should be doing to keep these assholes from becoming career politicians in the first place. None of these pricks should have kept their jobs for as long as they've had them, except for, you know, the freshman senators and things like that. They're on their first term. They're okay. They're not complete fucks yet, although a lot of them are fucks because they come from a political background and they're just scaling up. But ultimately, we kind of dropped the ball here, and we need to pick it up, and we need to run with it. And a lot of people of my age or a little older or even a little younger, we're a lot more centrist. We're a lot more willing to accept people as they are. Like me personally, I only judge you based on whether or not I think you're a decent person. That's all I give a fuck about. If you're decent to people, if you're decent to me, I'll be decent to you. And that's what the original push for all this equality stuff that the left swears is what they're talking about, but it's really not. And you can gauge that based on how they treat people that they don't think are in line with their belief structures that they assume should be. Like, as a middle-aged white guy, they automatically look at me and assume I'm the enemy because I must be because I'm a middle-aged white guy. I'm automatically wrong. I'm the what's wrong with the world. I'm the bad guy. Now, on the other hand, you get a person with a higher degree of melanin in their skin than I have that happens to agree with me because they believe in logical discourse and reasonable thought. And all of a sudden, they're getting called all kinds of race traitors and Uncle Toms and some of the most ignorant and racist shit I have seen on social media coming out of anyone's mouths are from the left right now. I've seen people that are gay, bi, you know, anybody of the original alphabet mafia before it got expanded into 97 different categories that, you know, they just wanted to be accepted and left the fuck alone. They wanted equality. They didn't want special treatment. They wanted to be treated like human beings. And I'm seeing them being ostracized by the current alphabet people because that's not good enough. That's not radical enough. Until everybody's, you know, personal idiosyncrasies are not only accepted but celebrated, then none of us can be happy. And it's a horseshit mentality. The problem is the people who built these movements, pretty much things have shifted where they're getting a lot closer to what the original goals were. And the new generation that's coming into this movement doesn't understand that they don't have the same struggle on their hands. So they have to blow things up and make them more severe simply to justify that they still have a struggle. They can't appreciate the progress that's been made socially and politically. They can't appreciate the fact that people under a certain age, say people under, you know, 55, just because that's a nice sounding round number, generally look at that stuff and just don't give a fuck. But, you know, now it's not enough to just be treated like a human being. It's, I have to be celebrated and lauded and special because I came up with a thing that doesn't even actually use letters to define myself. You have to make sure before you even talk to me, you find out what my pronouns are. Well, no, you need to present yourself better so your pronouns are a little more apparent, or you need to shut the fuck up. Your issues are not the rest of the world's problems, and people have forgotten that. People are just getting stupid out of hand, and they're creating conflict and issues where there's no need for them to be. And in particular, like I said, the thing that I'm really getting hung up on in recent days here is the vitriol I've seen getting spewed at people that as little as a decade ago were part of the marginalized equation. They were part of the people that were trying to get recognition and acceptance and equality. And they're being attacked by the people that are supposed to be on their side for not being radical enough. And it's just a really, it's a sad state of affairs. Things can't keep going like this. The center's not going to hold. And there are a lot of other contributing factors. Like, one of the simple factors is, as much as people talk about the Middle East and people talk about Russia and people talk about South America, things like the global fuel shortage right now, you know who the number one crude oil producer in the world is? Us, the United States. Even with all of the restrictions and all of the things being pushed into place by the current administration, trying to phase out fossil fuels and trying to restrict oil production in the United States, we are still one of the number one producer of oil in the world. And we're producing something like 1 million barrels of oil a day less than what we should be producing to be at, you know, peak production. And the policies being enacted here are actually inflaming a lot of these problems around the world. And instead of having oil to export, we're importing oil just to meet our own needs. We're giving away oil from our strategic reserves, going to countries that have no business getting oil from us. Say going to an energy company in China that's affiliated with the Biden family. Yeah, there's no conflict of interest there. You know, and crackhead Hunter had nothing to do with that. There's no corruption there. There's no kickbacks there. The big guy's not getting his taste. And then you say things like this and you're automatically labeled a conspiracy theorist, or I'm at the point where I'm starting to hear people throwing around domestic terrorists just for people that point this shit out. That's how extreme things are getting. And as much as I hate to say it, there's a very real looming possibility that things are going to go sideways. Things are going to go off the rails. And I am genuinely concerned that the sitting political regime in this country is going to try and force a martial conflict. They're going to try and impose martial law. They're going to try and order the U.S. military to impose government control on U.S. citizens. And it's not going to end well. It's not going to end the way these elitist douchebags think, because there's no way in hell the American people are just going to roll over for that. And it's, that's one of the problems with having a bunch of people in positions of power in this country that are so detached from what normal people are going through and what people are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. They don't understand that sitting up there preaching about how everyone needs to sacrifice and everything, everyone, you know, needs to pull together and push to get these things through. And every time they talk about sending money overseas, they don't realize that the American people don't give a flying fuck right now. We're worried about our own things. We're worried about our own shores and our own problems. And these people that are giving away our money, they're not giving away their money. Their money's safe. Their money comes from taxes. Their money is not taxed. So they don't really feel the same impact. And even the new ones, even AOC, thinks she's a person of the people, because frankly, she should have never gotten out of the fucking bar. She should still be a bartender somewhere. And she acts like she's still this person of the people, but she's bitching about not being able to live on her six-figure salary and how tight things are. Bitch, you don't remember what it's like to be trying to live on $22,000 a year, so you need to shut you the fuck up. And we need to come back together. We need to bring conversation back. I mean, I've said these things so many times, and I feel like I'm saying them over and over again. And hopefully when we start doing the live episodes, I can get some feedback from you guys, so I know I'm not just crazy. We'll get some good actual conversations going. Even if you don't agree with, especially if you don't agree with me, be waiting. Call in. The number is going to be the same number that's on the website to leave voicemail messages for this show. Yeah, that's going to be the live call-in number too, because it's an actual live active phone number. So once I get the date nailed down, we'll start discussing that. And in the meantime, for now, that's what I had to say. Thanks for listening to another episode, guys. If you liked what you heard, leave a comment, leave a review, leave a rating. Go to IHadToSayItPodcast.com, sign up for the mailing list, interact with the show. Click the links, sign up for the Patreon, join the Discord, Come and interact. Be a part of the show. Buy the merch. Support your favorite creator. Or support me. Anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Till next time.